You may be seated. Well, thank you to everyone who's shared this morning. I do love hearing from the ladies when they speak, and I always come away feeling full. So thank you so much. And happy Mother's Day again to everybody. It's a day we celebrate motherhood and everything that motherhood means. And then, of course, this morning I just want to honour my mum for her love and her care and her sacrifice. It's spoken to me more than anything, any words could. So happy Mother's Day. All right, this morning I just want to speak briefly, hopefully, about a very common scripture, probably the most common portion of scripture there is, and that is Psalm 23. It's a psalm that's usually read at funerals, and it's a promise of comfort at a time of loss. But over the little while, I've been just reading different things and focusing on different portions of the scripture, and I just want to share with you what I've found over the last few weeks. Of course, we know Psalm 23 was written by David, and we know David was a king who was once a shepherd boy when in his younger years. We don't know when the psalm was written, but theologians are thinking that it was written later in David's life, towards the end of his life. They look at how it's written and the maturity behind how it has been written, and they think it was written at the end of his life. And when I thought of that, I thought I could just imagine this great king sitting down at the end of his life, reflecting back on the times when he was a shepherd, when he was young, and reflecting back on those times and gaining things from the wisdom that he's learnt throughout the years. So I think it's a beautiful picture to just, think of David writing those words. So I just want to have a little look at the scripture. We know all scripture is profitable for us. The Bible says that. So I know, although we might talk to mothers this morning, I know that it will be profitable for all of us here this morning. So verse 1, if you'd like to turn to Psalm chapter 23. Verse 1, of course, starts with, "The Lord is my shepherd." Just these few words are really powerful when you just look at "the Lord is my shepherd." If we are to say to ourselves, "the Lord is my shepherd," what we're saying is we are sheep. And when you think about sheep and what they are, they're not the smartest of animals. We think of sheep and we think of animals that need a lot of care, can be stubborn. They're defenseless and helpless. No one would want to admit those things about themselves, really. So when we say that the Lord is my shepherd, it's quite a humbling thing to admit that we do need care, we do need to be looked after. Before we can move to any place of significance with God, we need to first just acknowledge that I am a sheep and everything that entails. So the Lord is my shepherd. The Almighty God, the Righteous One, that is our shepherd. He's the beginning and the end. He's our comforter. He's our sword and our shield. He's our Prince of Peace. He's our Redeemer. The Messiah, he's the bread and life, his hope, his peace, his rest and love, freedom, he's our deliverer, he's our healer, he's our strength. We could go on and on. That is our shepherd. So can we all say, "The Lord is my shepherd."
The Lord is my shepherd.
He is an awesome God, and we have no need of any other. We don't need any other master. We don't need any other leader. We don't need any other guide.
The God of this universe is our shepherd. He's so big, yet at the same time, he's small enough to live inside of us, to protect me and to know everything there is to know about me. And he loves me. The next part of the scripture says, I shall not want. And we've just said, God is our everything. Of course, we have no need for anything because he is everything. He knows what we need before we even ask. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8 says, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. He knows us, yet how forgetful we are. You know, we praise God, we praise his greatness in one breath, and then in the very next breath, we're so restless and we're wanting more and more and more. We can become so discouraged, so dissatisfied, depressed, despite what we have in God. Why do we get so overcome with trouble? And why do we get so unsettled within our spirit? We're always searching for more and for better and beyond. We know he is a master who neither slumbers nor sleeps. The Bible tells us that he is the Lord and our shepherd, but still we want more. And in a book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, the author's name is Philip Keller. He's a shepherd, and he's written about Psalm 23 from the perspective of a shepherd. And I'll just read a small portion from his book. He says, I once owned a ewe whose conduct exactly typified this sort of person. She was one of the most attractive sheep that ever belonged to me. Her body was beautifully proportioned. She had a strong constitution and an excellent coat of wool. Her head was clean, alert, well set with bright eyes. She bore sturdy lambs that matured rapidly. But in spite of all these attractive attributes, she had one pronounced fault. She was restless, disconnected, a fence crawler. So much so that I came to call her Mrs. Gadabout. This one ewe produced more problems for me than almost all the rest of the flock combined. No matter what field or pasture the sheep were in, she would search all along the fence or shoreline, looking for a loophole she could crawl through and start to feed on the other side. It was not that she lacked pasturage. My fields were my joy and delight. No sheep in the district had better grazing. With Mrs. Gadabout, it was an ingrained habit. She was simply never contented with things as they were. Often when she had forced her way through some such spot in a fence or found a way around the end of the wire at the low tide of the beaches, she would end up feeding on bare, brown, burnt-up pasturage of a most inferior sort. She never learned her lesson and continued to fence crawl time after time. Now, it would have been bad enough if she was the only one who did this. It was a sufficient problem to find her and bring her back. But the further point was that she taught her lambs the same tricks. They simply followed her example and soon were as skilled at escaping as their mother. Even worse, however, was the example she set for other sheep. After putting up with her perverseness for a summer, I finally came to the conclusion that to save the rest of the flock from becoming unsettled, she would have to go. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 to 6, talks about Jesus. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So mothers this morning, are you restless? Are you always looking for something else, always wanting more? Are you discontent with the things of God? Does the grass look greener somewhere else? It isn't. There's no better pasture than that of the Lord's. Show your children where your treasure is, Show them the joy that's found in the presence of God and let them know that there's no better place to be. Don't fall into the trap of comparing yourselves to others, comparing your family, your children, your homes. Don't compare and want more. And you know, we know social media is wonderful. It's got so many positives, but it's also an outlet for comparing and becoming dissatisfied with our lives. Don't do it. Rise above it and be a better person. Be a better mother. We've all been guilty of wanting the beautiful thing that is instead, like the shepherd had to get rid of that one sheep. The beautiful thing is that Jesus doesn't have to do that. Instead of removing us from the flock, our shepherd took our own sins for us. He lovingly cares for us and reminds us that he is all we need, and all we need is in him. The next part of the scripture, he maketh me to lie down. Mothers, would you like to lie down? I definitely would love to lay down sometime. We often need rest, and it can be so hard to find. But this is a promise. He maketh me to lie down. I've learnt that there are four things that make it impossible for sheep to lie down. One, they have to be free from fear. The second is they have to be free from friction with other sheep. The third is they have to be free from pests. And the fourth is they have to be free from hunger. They need to be full. So free from fear. Sheep are timid animals. When one sheep is frightened, what do the rest do? They just run off in the same direction. They're very timid animals. When sheep are frightened, the shepherd, talking in the old days, the shepherd would see that his flock were unsettled. The shepherd would come and he'd stand with them. He would come and be with them. And often that is enough to make a flock of sheep settle down and stop running. Mothers, this morning when life seems to threaten and you feel fearful, just know that the shepherd is with you. He's right with you. He maketh us to lie down. The second one, free from friction. There's a butting order amongst sheep, apparently. One ewe will rise above the others and the sheep get all edgy and restless and start fighting. But again, once their shepherd comes and stands with them, they're comforted and all that restlessness settles down. He maketh me to lie down. The third one, free from pests. We know about flies and mosquitoes. It's hard enough for us to live with pests. Sheep, they can't rest if there's pests around. In ancient times, there were herbal remedies that would be made and the shepherds would apply those to the sheep. And we know today that sheep are dipped in chemicals to keep pests away from them. In the Bible, the Holy Spirit is referred to as the oil. When we are full of the Holy Spirit, we have power to throw off those pesky pests. They don't have to stay with us. He maketh me to lie down. The fourth one is free from hunger. Sheep, the shepherds make sure their sheep have good green pastures. You know what? We will never ever run out of the bread of life or the new wine of the Holy Spirit. He gives us that freely. We don't need to hunger. We need to find time daily to feed on his word and become full to keep going. Everybody say, he maketh me to lie down. True rest can only happen when we are in the presence of God. He will make us to lay down. The next part of the scripture is, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Like all animals, sheep have to have a constant supply of water. But unlike some other animals, sheep will actually drink anything to quench their thirst. Often, you know, other animals, they will only drink good water, but sheep will drink whatever. If they're not led to fresh water, they will stop at any polluted water and they'll end up sick. So there's three main ways in ancient times that sheep would be able to get water. The first is from the dew on the ground. Often if it was a cool night and there was dew on the grass, the sheep would be let into the pasture and they could feed on that grass with the dew on it, and that would be enough, apparently, to sustain them for the day. We need to take that sweetness of the early morning, to take the time to seek God before our day begins, before our children rise, before the day starts, to start the day refreshed for what's ahead of us. The second place sheep would find water is in deep wells. A shepherd, you think of Middle Eastern time, it's quite dry and hilly and rocky. The shepherds would bring their sheep to the rocks and the deep caves, and they would find water deep down in those deep, dark caves. And you know, we have dark times in our lives. We all do. No one enjoys these times. But if we're close to God during these times and don't turn from Him, we have to not question that deep, dark time, because the water we drink at that time will be refreshing and it will be the most sweet and clear water for us. And of course, the final place that shepherds would take their sheep are to springs and to streams. And this is the most plentiful water. Yeah, on the way to find those streams, often again the sheep will stop wherever at dirty puddles on their way and they'll drink from those dirty puddles. We all have an inner thirst that has to be satisfied some way. Sometimes people are unsure where to look or what they're looking for, and in their dilemma, they'll drink from any dirty pool. Where do you get your sustenance from? Where do you get it from? Do you go to God and His Word, or do you go to ungodly counsel? Let God lead you beside the still waters. The next verse I want to really look at, we'll just look at this one. It says, He restoreth my soul. And I know as mothers, whether you're a mother of teenagers, young children or whatever, you know, we give of ourselves, and to be able to stop and know that God will restore our soul is a beautiful thing, because often there's not much time in the day. We're running here, everywhere, but to be able to know that God will restore our soul. In spite of the fact that the Lord is our shepherd and that we shall not want, and that He makes me lie down in green pastures and He leads me beside the still waters, we still find need for restoration. In Psalm 42, verse 11, David said, Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? King David needed restoration. We can all come to a point in our lives where we feel cast down, and things aren't going the way we thought they would. We need to be restored. And we are just like sheep. And if you look at this poor sheep up here, this is a cast down sheep, or a cast sheep. That's what it's called. It's one that happens regularly, apparently. It's one that has turned on its back and it can't get back up. And it does look like a very sorry sight. If you looked in the field and saw a sheep like that, you'd feel sorry for it, with its legs flailing around like that. If the owner doesn't come quickly in a reasonable amount of time, this sheep will die. A shepherd keeps his eyes on his sheep and he counts them constantly to see that they are still there. But it's not only the shepherd who watches for a cast sheep. Predators watch for a cast sheep as well. The sheep is easy prey, and they know that death isn't too far away. And this can happen to every single one of us. We can find ourselves in a position where we can no longer help ourselves. We're helpless and we're vulnerable to the attack of Satan. Life will bring things that make us feel downcast. And maybe you're in the middle of a situation which you feel you can't get out of or you can't recover from. And you know, often it's the healthiest, fattest sheep that become downcast. They lie down on the grass in a soft hollow, they roll to their side, and then suddenly the centre of their gravity shifts and they're over on their back. The sheep panics, which obviously makes things worse. Blood circulation gets cut off and they could die within hours. Don't think you're ever above feeling downcast like David was. Sometimes all it takes is just that little bit of complacency, and before we know it, we tumble over and we're unable to get ourselves out of that downcast state. You know, a shepherd will search for hours to find a sheep that is cast down. When a shepherd finds a sheep like that, if I saw a sheep like that in a paddock, I'd want to go and just roll it back over. But the shepherd can't do that. He has to go slow. He has to take his time and he has to rub the sheep's feet. He has to restore that circulation to the sheep's body. It takes time. At first, the sheep will stumble and stagger, but all the time the shepherd's there just constantly soothing it and looking after it, telling it maybe it's going to be okay, telling it it shouldn't lie in those places too long, being comforting to that sheep. Our shepherd will restore us. The other kind of sheep that can become cast is a sheep that has too much wool. It doesn't have to be fat, but it's got too much wool. And I found this very interesting. In the Bible, wool stands for self and our pride and our personal preference. The high priests in the tabernacle weren't allowed to wear wool. And a selfish life, one that is constantly focused on ourselves, our own desires, our own hopes, our own aspirations, a life that clings just to possessions and accumulating things, eventually it will be weighed down and held down by the weight of self. We know the remedy of that is to be shorn. And sheep, I don't imagine, particularly enjoy being shorn. It looks like a hard job for the shepherd. But there's a feeling of freedom afterwards. And we have to move from being selfish to being selfless and put that self off. And really, we're going to just read through the rest of the verses this morning. It says, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness." We read the verse, "All we like sheep have gone astray, and we've turned everyone to his own way. Often we blame God for where we end up, but it's us that has turned our own way. If we follow God, if we follow his paths, we'll remain in righteousness. God said, his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path." The portion of scripture turns right now and it talks about the valley of the shadow of death. And we've all experienced this time. It's a time of change, a time of transition in the valley. Our lives change and we go through different seasons. We need to remember that we can be vulnerable in this time. We can become anxious. We're not sure if we can trust the shepherd. Why is he leading me through this valley? It makes us vulnerable to spiritual death. We need to totally trust God in these times because he is leading us and he's going before us. It's these times when we have to maybe even trust blindly. We look around and we think, this is the valley of death. Why are you taking me this way? But we know we need to trust God because He is leading us through. And we need to stick together with the other sheep at this time. It's not a time to wander off on your own. We need to stick together. The last part of that verse says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." A shepherd has different equipment, a knapsack, maybe some first aid supplies, and a rod and a staff. The rod is used for the shepherd's defense against other animals. They used to use it to part the wool to see how clean the sheep was, and maybe even discipline the wayward sheep to bring them back. And this represents the word of God. The word of God is our rod. The staff, that's unique. When you see a staff and you immediately know that that's used for sheep. The shepherd draws the sheep together with this. He reaches out to individual sheep to inspect them, maybe to comfort them, and he guides them. And this represents God's Holy Spirit. It's a comfort to us. These things are the shepherd's greatest tools that he uses, his word and his spirit. The next part of the scripture says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." You know, in ancient times, the tablelands was a part in the mountain that was flat, and the shepherd would go before the sheep and prepare that area because it was so open. Again, the sheep were vulnerable to predators to come, so the shepherd would go before them to the open part on top of the hill, and he would prepare, he would sprinkle minerals and things for the sheep, and he would prepare the way. Jesus has prepared a table for us. We come here and we take communion at the communion table. Do we appreciate what God has done to prepare the way for us? We're filled with joy only because He has prepared that table for us and we're able to rest in Him. The next part says, "Thou anointest my head." Sheep get diseased, and often on their heads, because they rub heads together and that can transfer from one to the next. And the antidote was to rub some oil on their heads. This world can contaminate our thought patterns. It can get into our mind. The only thing that can protect us is the oil that Jesus gives us, which again is His sweet spirit. And finally, we come to verse 6. It says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." So mothers, do we leave behind a sweet presence? Does goodness follow us? Does mercy follow us? Is there peace in our lives or is there turmoil? Is there forgiveness or bitterness? Is there contentment or conflict? Is there joy or frustration? Our children, our husbands, our families and our friends, those we're in contact with daily, they need to be a witness of what God has done in our lives. We need goodness and mercy to follow us all our days. And finally, it says, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What a beautiful promise. We're going to dwell in God's house forever. He's mine and I am His. He's the great almighty God. He's the good shepherd and He's mine. But you know, He's great, He's big, He's awesome, but He's small enough as well. He's small enough to see you. Mothers, I know you might feel invisible at times. How many times do you say, "Go and put your clothes in the laundry"? Silence. Go put your clothes in the... You feel invisible. You might feel insignificant and you might feel that you're not accomplishing anything great. It's day in and day out. But God is small enough. He's small enough to see you. He's small enough to care about you. He's small enough to see what you do every day. He's small enough to see the sacrifices that you make every day. And He cares for the one sheep. And you are that one sheep that he cares for. He promises you, you will not want. He will make you to lie down. He will lead you beside the still waters. He will restore you. He will guide your path. He will be with you in the deepest valley. He will comfort you. He'll prepare blessings for you. And he will be with you forever. And I've just asked Sister Shannon to come and sing a song for us this morning. And then we're going to present some gifts to all the mothers afterwards. And the gift is just a small jar of jam and a tea bag. But you know those small times when you're sitting and you feel like no one's around, you've just got your own time, jam on toast, your cup of tea. God sees you and he's small enough to see you. So please listen to this song and then Pastor Jonathan will come.